Hey everyone, and welcome to another episode of Women in Screenwriting Stepping into Frame. And this week we are talking about the very controversial question, is the rom-com dead? Dun dun dun. And we hopefully will answer that today. And I'm joined by Eva and Lorna. Hi guys.
Hi.
Welcome to this, what I think is going to be a very interesting conversation, because we've never really tackled this before at the script department. We've always tackled very this movie, but today we are looking at the whole genre of rom-coms and deciding whether they are, if they are indeed dead. So top line, before we jump into it, like top line, what do you think, Eva? Are they dead?
I think they may be slightly sleepy.
Ah, sleeping. Okay, I like it.
Diverged into like different sub-genres. We still have romance, we still have comedy, whether we still have, you know, a thriving rom-com scene, I don't really think so, no.
Okay, interesting. Lorna, what's your top line thoughts?
I would just say no, but because they've evolved, that's how I would say
it. Okay, so that's interesting, because I would say yes, they are dead as we knew them. And yeah, so they probably all joins up there somewhere, doesn't it? Indeed, they need to evolve. Okay, so interesting. So let's start by kind of, I guess, giving a bit of a putting a stake in the ground about rom-coms. I think largely, if I remember correctly, rom-coms as we talk about them mainly in its most frequently remembered characteristics are Hollywood-based, big budget, big movie stars, formulaic rom-com type of thing, which were very big from the kind of mid to late 80s through to probably the mid 2000s, I think. Does that sound like a fair kind of, you know, catch-all for them? And I guess if we think about them, you know, because we are screenwriters, right? So we need to think about structurally and technically, what does a rom-com involve? And I've got some notes here, so please forgive the reading, but I think it's really interesting because it frames how we consider what we consider rom-coms, because I think in some cases when we look at rom-coms, we might think they're rom-coms. Like The Holiday was a great example last week that we talked about, and it was like, well, it's romantic, but is it a comedy? So if we think about romantic elements, it has to be that the value of love is taken as a given, and the purpose of the narrative is to illustrate how true love conquers all, or variations of. Two, the main protagonists face innumerable barriers to establishing a relationship and recognizing they're in love with each other. Three, secondary characters provide the source of the main developments in the plot. Four, the narrative is a combination of action-driven and dialogue-driven sequences, the balance being dependent on the style of the narrative. It's an interesting point. Five, the aim of the plot is to provide as many comedic moments as possible between the two central protagonists and their environment or other characters. Six, multiple locations are the norm. Interesting. Seven, secondary characters' stories can dominate sequences within the narrative, but always with one of the protagonists' presence. So very interesting to kind of think about those sort of technicalities. So what are, so maybe Lorna, I'll start with you. What's your favorite rom-com? Let's contextualize.
Well, you know what? I was today watching Last Christmas with my daughter. So if we're talking about more traditional rom-coms that are recent, then Last Christmas is definitely, I mean, I was.
It's a real double-edged sword, that one, isn't it? You think it's going to be happy and it's not happy, and then
well,
it is kind of happy.
The title kind of gives it away if you realize that it's about the song. So I was prepared. My daughter was not prepared. She like immediately sat up and she was like, what? Spoiler. Is he dead?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, see that whole thing. See, you just go, is it really a rom-com then? Is it really a rom-com when the guy is dead, when the protagonist is dead?
Well, anyway, that's up to you to decide whether or not you think love is eternal or not.
Oh, transcends death. I like that. It's quite a macabre way to start the conversation. So, Eva, what's your favourite rom-com of all time?
It's so hard to do a favorite of all time.
Okay, top couple.
I do. Well, I really enjoyed 500 Days of Summer. I thought that was really nice. And also, so it's difficult because I'm not certain that it's a rom-com. So I loved Bridget Jones, but I'm not certain that that counts as a rom-com because it should be about two protagonists and both their story about overcoming the obstacles in order to be together. And it doesn't really focus very much on Mark Darcy in Bridget Jones. So I'm not certain. And the other ones that I really like, I love Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. And again, I'm not certain that that's a romantic comedy.
Yeah, it's really interesting, isn't it? Because there's a bit of genre bending in, certainly in Eternal, what is it? I always get Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to do it again today when I'm like, oh, I can't remember the name. Okay, so yeah, that's a bit genre bendy for me. But I think probably Bridget Jones would kind of fit, wouldn't it? Because you think about a second Bridget Jones is more about the losing of Mark Darcy, getting him back kind of thing, I guess, maybe.
Yeah, I think the problem with that is it's a book, so it needs more strands. So when it's done, the book is also a romantic comedy, but because books, so they kind of have to have more going on.
That's true.
Notes about romantic comedies, I noted down that the primary tension derives from the central romantic relationship. So I think Bridget Jones, most of that comes from that, her trying to get with him or not getting with him.
Definitely. And I guess romance is at the heart, isn't it, for her, even though there's a couple of love interests in number one. You know, love is definitely at the heart of that story. So I think that would comfortably fit in. My all-time favorite, I'd go back into the archives for this, is When Harry Met Sally. I just think it is such a brilliant piece of writing. And I think, and if we maybe this is a segue into the, let's go deeper into our thoughts about why the rom-com is or isn't dead. And I think for me, the reason that I think it is as we know it or knew it is because the writing of some of those rom-coms back in those earlier days, like Harry Met Sally as a classic example, is so good. It tackles a universalism. That's a good word. I'll just make that one. about, you know, the sort of the premises about, can men and women really be friends? And okay, that was very heteronormative 1990s, but the idea of taking a question that is has that universal appeal and creating a story around two really interesting, complicated characters. Yes, you have them over decades, so you get to know them over a long period of time. But I just think it was so flawlessly done, and I think now if I look at some of the Netflix rom-coms that have come out more recently or attempts at Netflix, and even the most recent big name rom-com, which is that Ticket to Paradise, the frailty is in the script, I think. It's just they don't have that dynamism or that magic or that strength that they used to have, is my theory.
I do think that they have,
what do you think about that?
Along the way lost the kind of depth of character. I think they tend to be a little bit more twee, whereas with Last Christmas you really do get the heart of her trying to find or refind her own heart after the when she had to have the operation to replace her heart.
I think that Last Christmas actually does well for a few reasons, partly because I do believe it's easier to do a rom-com if it's based around a holiday or a Christmas if there's some other reason why it should be so kind of twee and sweet and love conquers all, to the point of sometimes not being believable, but we put it to a side because it's a Christmas film. And I think that helps. But also with Last Christmas, it's quite diverse. It's quite mature. It's more kind of up to date with a lot of the morals and themes. And I think your classic rom-coms would find that a little bit harder.
And do you think that's why the rom-com, another reason the rom-com is kind of has died or is dormant or whatever, because it hasn't kept up to date with that stuff. You know, as we talked about, you know, they're heteronormative, largely white middle class people in very sort of traditional situations. They don't really deal with any sorts of diversity, really. And these days, the audiences want more of that. They are more, we want to see more of us on the screen. So, you know, and I think Last Christmas is a good example of it, sort of breaks a bunch of those kind of more stereotypical rom-com devices, if you like. Is that one of its problems, do you think?
I absolutely think that that's one of the reasons. And also kind of together with the fact that a lot of the comedic moments that come from a relationship could be like the stereotypical man and stereotypical woman. Oh, how funny is it that they're trying to be together? But as an audience, we don't tend to be so okay and so accepting of some of these more stereotypical, this is the woman's place, this is the man's place. So I think writers just don't quite know how to do romantic comedy without offending people.
Yeah, do you think it needs to be brought into the modern day, I guess, in all those sorts of aspects? What do you think, Lorna?
There's definitely like so many stereotypes that get drawn out and just kind of tired jokes. Like if you think another Christmas film that is sort of a rom-com is Love Actually, and that does try to do a bit more diversity in there, in terms of there are certainly plenty more characters going on in there, but it's just, oh man, the fat jokes and all sorts of like misogyny going on in there. That's just like, it just, you watch it and you're like, no, it's like a car crash, you can't look away but you don't want to look.
It's funny, isn't it? It's one of those films that really hasn't aged well, has it? It's we were talking about it the other day. I think I've got this theory that maybe The Holiday that was done in 2006 is sort of the last of those big Hollywood romantic comedies as we knew them. But Love Actually wasn't that far behind. I think, was it 2003 or something? It wasn't that far behind.
No.
Or wasn't that far before. But yeah. My God, comparatively, it's really fared far worse, hasn't it?
And it really has.
You know, there's some massive cringe moments in there. What were the sorts of ones that you particularly take away, Lorna?
What I hated at the time, which for some reason people thought was romantic, was the signs. Like, where he holds up the signs going, I think you're perfect. And it's like, you are hitting on your best mate's wife and you've never spoken to her. You don't, like, she thinks you hate her and you've been creepily filming only her at their wedding, and it was just really like, that's gross, actually.
It's, what did someone call it in the paper the other day? A wank tape, I think.
Absolutely, he was keeping that for himself.
I mean, that's Creepsville, isn't it? Like, that is, man, next level creep. Mm. Did you notice that at the time, or is that something, like, when it first came out, or is that something you've only sort of has come to you more recently?
I was never that keen, no. I'm particularly that one, but there are some other ones where I have become more aware of how problematic they all are as well, because there's so many of it. Like, the twee boy in liking the girl, but again, he hasn't actually spoken to her. He decides that learning the drums is the way to win her heart rather than having a conversation, you know. But the thing is, you can kind of forgive it because it's a kid, you know, it's all kind of less creepy, although still mini creepy.
But also,
there are lots of parts that are actually quite unbelievable as well. For instance, with the holding up the sign bit, she runs after him and gives him is it a kiss on the cheek? I mean, would you? Or would you run after him and give him a bit of a slap around the face? What are you doing this for? Or would you call your husband down to the door and be like, this is weird?
Yeah, who is this guy? We're not seeing you mate anymore.
And poor Marty McCutcheon. I mean, she is a beautiful woman.
I know.
And she is treated like someone that is like a plus size.
And even the Emma Thompson character, there was no love story in it for her, was there? It was just terrible.
No.
It was
It was heartbreaking. All very sad.
Yeah. And so actually, you think that didn't follow the formula in terms of the sort of happy ending for everybody. I suspect, though, its premise was a little bit different because it was more around different types of love, you know, one unreconciled love, you know, one, you know, lost love, you know, whatever, whatever. So from that point of view, you know, but it definitely hasn't stood the test of time so well.
I quite like the couple that were stand-ins, and so they were stand-ins for a sex scene, and that actually was quite healthy. I did quite like their relationship because he's so respectful towards her, despite the fact that, you know, they're both naked. And
yeah, he was actually, you're right, he was one of the few that was he really was quite nice the whole way through. I had a look the other day at because I guess it makes you think about other rom-coms where we now look back at them and go, actually, that was really, it was okay at the time, or people thought it was okay at the time, and it's just not. And the other one that I saw the other day was one I haven't seen for a long, long time, and it was You've Got Mail, which was Meg Ryan, who obviously was one of those big stars, and Tom Hanks. And have you guys seen it?
Yeah, and not actually, long time. Actually, it wasn't that long ago that I watched it as well. Watched it with the kids, and it was okay. Yeah, so it was quite a good one, I think.
Yeah, it's good, but didn't it strike you as, I know, and this is only something that's come to me in more recent viewings, that, you know, he's actually a dog. Like, he was not a good man.
No,
and at the end, you know, she still goes to meet him even after he's bankrupted her. Yeah. He's lied to her when he knew who she was and she didn't know who he was, but yet she still goes on that last moment to meet him. And it's like, oh, come on, Meg.
That makes
we can
no
do
sense.
Better than this. No, and you wouldn't do that now. Absolutely not. Are there any other films that you can remember in that rom-com space that you'd be like, oh, gosh, never again would we make it that way?
A couple of Jennifer Aniston films.
Oh, yeah.
That weren't great. Is it that there's The Switch and The Breakup, but I feel like they're pretty much the same film without rewatching them. That's my memory of it.
Right.
In my writing readings of it, it said that La La Land was a rom-com, but I don't remember it being funny.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I wouldn't have said it as a rom-com, no. Like the comedy side, no. I would have said it was more dramedy, maybe. I don't know. It wasn't much comedy. I don't know. Yeah, it's a good question. What about the brilliant, the iconic films like Pretty Woman? How do they date these days in the rom-com?
I watched Pretty Woman fairly recently and I still enjoyed it, but I think when you watch films from, I don't know, early 90s or 80s, that you kind of do give it a little bit of a pinch of salt.
Well, that's a good point, isn't it? You know, do we turn a blind eye to some of this stuff because it's like every film that we talk about that has a historical context, isn't it? You know, every film is made at a particular time when society is in a certain place and we progress hopefully as a community, and so how much of that is important in the rom-com? And I guess question to you guys is that one of the failings, is that we don't seem to have been able to reinvent rom-com in a way that gets over some of those issues?
I think it's still possible to do them right, because if you think in terms of Pretty Woman, there's Richard Gere's character. Because there's the creepy friend, and he's a creep and disrespectful. And so Richard Gere, actually, it is given the opportunity to kind of show the difference between way that Richard Gere is treating the prostitute and the way his friend is thinking of the prostitute, and so there it is possible to have this kind of jokey, oh yeah, this is a funny little setup, but still handle the kind of more real issue at hand, but it still be tonally comedic, I think.
Yeah, and actually, so I watched Last Holiday, And it was definitely a rom-com, you know, and they did manage to get the balance between the comedic moments, but not having them be too stereotypical man, stereotypical woman. There's a part near the end that is kind of your classic hijinks where they're both trying to see each other, but they're not, you know, they've got all these difficult ways. And I think that the guy ends up like hiking through the snowy mountains to find her. And then there's a bit where they're all out on the window ledge and more of them keep coming out. And it's honestly, it's really quite good. I must be a fairly new film, that one. Is that maybe even 2021? So the fact that they managed to do it is impressive, but then I'm not sure if they are able to do that, partly because it's kind of a Christmas film in, you know, there's snow and there's Christmas trees and it's around Christmas. And also they managed to do it because they have quite a lot of slightly cheesy, she talks to God a fair bit. And it might be that it's believable that the main character would put all of this into love and her belief in her religion because she's such a devout Christian and has, you know, she's in the gospel choir. But they do that quite well. And I think they show that it is still possible.
Mm. Notting Hill, I think, is another good example of it aging well and it being handled in a good way, so that it's charming and realistic that there are issues between them and resolves it well. Yeah. I'm just a girl stood in front of a boy asking him to love her.
I haven't seen Four Weddings and a Funeral for a while, but that had that great line from Hugh Grant, it was nice not quite meeting you.
Yeah. I mean, they do still work, don't they? I mean, they are still great films. You see Notting Hill comes on, you watch it, don't you? You know, Four Weddings and a Funeral comes on, you watch it. You, even if they're, you know, Eva's great phrase, background movies, you know, like, you know, even if they're things that you just have on while you're doing other stuff, they still seem to resonate. And I think that's because the whole idea of love and positivity and happiness is one of the things that we crave when in the escapism part of what movies do for us. So I don't think that the rom-com has disappeared because of a lack of want of those storylines. I think it's more an inability of, well, obviously there's a reluctance by the production houses to make them. And I just don't think that, I just feel like the strength of the writers and also the actors, like you think about the well-known acting troupe that was all in those Hollywood rom-coms. So Julia Roberts, Reese Witherspoon, you know, like all like this massive J-Lo, you know, like all, there's a whole bunch of actresses that, and Jennifer Aniston that went on to do movie to Meg Ryan, you know, movie to movie to movie, and they've all gone. And there isn't sort of that group of women actresses that are used for those sorts of films anymore either. Which is, I don't know. But Netflix has been trying to create rom-coms, haven't they? Lorna, you've been having a look at that. What did you find?
So are we talking about the TV shows now?
Yeah, TV. TV. Streaming.
Well, there's all sorts of streaming TV shows. There's and they're also doing it in a more diverse way. So there's Love, Simon. So I'm going on to Disney now. Sorry. and that's charming. Has anyone watched Heartstopper? We've started watching that, it just makes your heart break and puts it back together again. It's beautiful.
And why is that? Can you just give us a bit more detail about it? Like, so that's tell us a bit about that and why that works.
So both Love, Simon have clumped them together, and Heartstoppers, because that's a they're both gay romances, teen coming of age type shows, and so there's a certain level, there's the innocence there, and the kind of everyone remembers what it's like to just kind of like someone and not be sure if they like you back, and there's that extra level of fear on top of that when you're gay, and you don't know whether or not the person that you like is gay, and then even then if they like you as well, and so I think that extra conflict helps broaden it being just your standard oh yeah, well, why can't they get together, she's a girl, he's a boy, they like each other. It can feel a little bit contrived, whereas obviously with Heartstopper and Love, Simon, it's not contrived at all. There is that fear, there is that resistance to them getting together societally and internally, and so I think that it's, you know, it's an obvious way to go when it comes to romance.
So is it about authenticity then?
Yeah,
making these movies a bit more true to life now.
Yeah, agreed. And you know, society has moved on since the romantic comedies of 10, 20 years ago, more than when you start talking about the 90s, I dread to think how long ago that was.
Yeah. It's funny. I watched one a little while ago, called Big Love. No. Big Love. Is it Big Love? Oh gosh, of course, you know, it's the one I can't remember. No, I'll look it up while we're talking. It happens every time. But I will talk a little bit about Ticket to Paradise while I'm looking it up. So Ticket to Paradise has just been on at the movies, and it has Julia Roberts and it has George Clooney in it. And it is that traditional rom-com, but it's almost like the production executive is going, okay, well, we've got these characters. They were great, you know, particularly Julia Roberts, great rom-com actresses. What can we do? Let's create a rom-com around the fact that she's older now. And the whole premise of the movie was her and her estranged husband, who is George Clooney, and their daughter graduated from college, went to Bali. I think it was Bali. Met a guy, moved there, and then they were trying. So the couple were trying to break the daughter up and her partner up because they didn't think he was right for her. And of course, they end up falling back in love. So it was a modernization of the genre, but almost based on Julia Roberts, you know, as being that we know she'll sell a rom com, you know, so put her in. But it was just, and a lot of people really liked it. I've read lots of reviews and lots of people thought it was great, but it just didn't have the spark and the dynamism that some of those earlier ones had. And the other one, I have remembered what it is called now, it was called Book of Love, and it's on Netflix. I think it's, this came out this year, I'm pretty sure. And it's quite nice. It's about an English writer and a guy. So it sort of flips the protagonist to him, to the guy, which is interesting. And he goes on a book tour to South America, blah, blah. And look, yeah, it's nice, but it's just nice. It's definitely not what they were. And I just wonder what else we could do to sort of, you know, what else, yeah, do we need to do to bring those movies back into the fore again? I don't know.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned, what was the first film with Julia Roberts?
Ticket to Paradise.
Yeah, so there's one called Home Again, and it sounds like they've done something similar. They've got Reese Witherspoon, and they're focusing on her as an adult with children. And so I think that's kind of where they seem to be going with it, is like holding on to the actresses of the rom-com past. But interestingly enough, that's kind of what they need to not do, I think, in order to get the spark back. They should be hiring young diverse actresses and doing rom-coms based on, or the thing with the male protagonist, that's an interesting take on it as well. So yeah, bringing more interesting takes on it, less heteronormativity, more diversity, but doing it all in a believable, authentic manner. And I think that often it's easier to do in TV, the authentic manner, because you can slowly build the characters. There's almost always something else going on for them, you know, like school or college in these coming of age ones. I haven't actually seen them, but I'm guessing. Whereas some of the original best rom-coms, it was just completely about love. They didn't really have anything else going on. And I think that's going to be more difficult to do nowadays.
Yeah. Do you think that I kind of wonder whether it's an inherent, like it's a, the kind of it kind of clashes, like you get a more diverse audience, so you reflect a more diverse cast and a more diverse story. Does the rom-com sort of genre then still fly with that kind of, you know, does it work in that context? Maybe that's it. And is there the interest for that those wider groups to watch those sorts of movies? I don't know.
Well, and the thing is, as well, is we're not necessarily seeing some of the more diverse rom-coms. I mean, there may well be out there, you know, a Spanish-made rom-com that is dubbed into English and exists on Netflix, but you haven't seen it because the algorithms haven't told you to see it. Or there might be, yeah, there may well be a load of gay rom-coms. I know there was Help But I'm a Cheerleader, which was fantastic, but that was quite a while ago. And also, I'm not, I think maybe more of a chick flick than a rom-com. But there are things like that out there, and I don't know if we're necessarily seeing them or not. Netflix doesn't seem to have a genre category list for romantic comedies. They've got romances and comedies, and I was kind of looking at both of them, but they don't have rom-coms as a topic. Which makes the search a little harder.
It's interesting in itself, isn't it? That they don't. The genre doesn't even exist for them, which is interesting. What do you think, Lorna, about the idea of, you know, it does becoming more diverse mean that the genre works less successfully or has less interest?
I don't think so. I mean, there's been like. Going back to TV again, so We Are Lady Parts is amazing, and that's more of a tonally a comedy than, say, Heartstopper is. And that's that. But again, the main storyline isn't necessarily the romance, but it is a strong B plot. So I'm kind of smudging it a bit here. But you know, there's plenty of diversity in there, that, and it's just so brilliantly written. And so, yeah, I just think it's going to make it better and improve things rather than, but whether I think just in general, in terms of times moving on, it's possible that the romance or romantic comedy as we knew it may not be able, not as relevant nowadays, but that doesn't mean that it can't be zhuzhed up and made relevant for the current generation.
Because I wonder whether, you know, we touched on a little bit that some of these movies now, when you look back, you go, oh gosh, that was not great, you know, this was not depicted very well, or this woman was not particularly, you know, yeah, particularly well depicted, or didn't really, you know, there were some issues with it. I mean, yeah, I mean, I have an issue just in total with Pretty Woman as a premise. You know, I just don't think that's, we really, you know, as a choice to create a rom-com, I just have really questionable. Yeah. And some of them, like quite a lot of them, you know, there really are still some inherent sort of issues for women, I think, around them, you know, which, again, at the time it wasn't such a big deal. But so I wonder whether, and I guess the question I'll put to you on this is, do you think it's about that women have changed and how women would respond? Can we not get away anymore with writing those sorts of twee storylines with that cheesy stuff that we all used to go, oh yeah, we love the cheese because we, you know, we love the romance. And can we not do that anymore? Does that not cut it for women's characters in these sorts of films?
It's difficult to know sometimes as well, like what audiences will still find romantic. Because I'm not even certain what I would find romantic anymore, and what things that I'd be like, no, and which ones I'd be like, oh, that's still sweet. Like, until it happens, you almost don't know that it's going to come.
Yeah. What do you think, Lorna?
Well, like with Last Christmas, I think that works as a rom-com, and I think that it manages to update it.
But that's a great example, isn't it? Because she's actually atypical for the kind of woman that you would see in a traditional rom-com. You know, she's kind of feisty, and she's, you know, she's independent, and she's, you know, she's also gone through something pretty traumatic. So, you know, she's a very complex character, and there isn't that sort of dynamic that you think of. If we talk about the You've Got Mail example, where, you know, this is, you know, she gets bankrupted by a guy who lies to her, but she still goes and meets him at the end. You know, you're not having those sorts of dynamics in movies anymore. And is that because, like, women like us are the viewing generations, and we're like, we don't want to see those stories anymore. You know, is it that part? Is that got anything to do with it, do you think, or not?
I think there's definitely a change in the audience and the way that we view the world. And so, and also the thing is that, I mean, there were plenty, because You've Got Mail was written by a woman, wasn't it? So I was going to say the female perspective wasn't necessarily as well served in terms of the screenwriters is concerned, but that was written by a woman, but she's still serving an audience and having to sell it to the executives and that kind of thing, isn't it? So there were hoops that she had to jump through to be able to get the interest from still plenty of men who thought they knew what women wanted.
Yeah. Yeah. what would be your most recent, what movie do you think, or do you have a movie that you think has managed to sort of create this blend across old rom-com into new rom-com? Would you say Last Christmas, Lorna, would be your kind of example, or you would think has managed to work well?
I definitely think it does. And there are some older ones that last, including like Notting Hill. So it is possible for it to be done and done well with well-rounded characters on both sides. Last Christmas, the male character isn't, so Tom isn't very as well developed. He is kind of a little bit of a two-dimensional romantic lead, which you can kind of let it slide because he's dead and so transcended. So he's not as complex anymore because he's found peace. But
I'm questioning the whole rom-coms. I think this is a real stretch here. I really do. I just, you know, I don't see in these technical notes, you know, protagonist does not have to be alive.
You know, exactly.
Like, he's semi-dimensional.
Yeah, it takes it to a whole nother level, doesn't it? I love it. I love it, though. I mean, it's a nice film, and it's a nice nod to George Michael music and the, you know, music's great, and it's all that fun stuff in London and all that great stuff. Mm. Eva, what about you? Do you have one that you think has kind of managed to get there, works pretty successfully?
Yes, I completely agree with the Last Christmas one, and I will add in A Last Holiday.
Right. Tell us about Last Holiday. Tell us about the kind of the storyline.
So Queen Latifah is told that she only has maybe 3 weeks to live. And so she cashes in all of her money and all of her finances that she's been saving. And she's got this book of possibilities, like, these are the things that I will do one day. And she just goes, right, I'm going. And she goes on this crazy last holiday where she just wants to spend all the money in the world. But she is a really interesting character. She's likable. She's strong and confident. She's quite overtly Christian, and she was singing in like a gospel at home. And actually that kind of stuff can often bother me a little bit if it's a bit too kind of militantly religious, but it didn't bother me. It made sense for her character to be the way it was. She was played really well. I think having someone like Queen Latifah in a leading protagonist role in a rom-com is just fabulous as well. And I think she does it absolute justice. There's really funny interactions with the people that she meets at the hotel. So it really mentioned, it makes a big thing about the kind of themes of rich people and how they don't really understand the world in the same view as your everyday person, because you've got her, and I wish I could remember her actual name in it, but she's like, you know, your everyday person, but she has a lifetimes of saving that she's spending in 3 weeks. So she comes across as being super rich. So all these people kind of cling on to her, thinking that she's, you know, the next best stockbroker, and they all want a piece of her. And eventually they find out that, yeah, she's only doing it because she's dying. But the whole way along, you know, she's wonderful to everyone. She points out the flaws in these other people, and they change and become better people from her being part of their life. And she also has this kind of guy that she's always liked, and he finally asks her out like the day that she realizes that she's only got 3 weeks to live. So then there's the kind of B story is him trying to find her, because she's just gone off on this holiday. So he tries to find her. He spends the whole film trying to find her. And then near the end, he gets there and he's hiked across all these mountains. And yeah, it's a very good story. Yeah, I enjoyed it.
if we go back to the kind of rules of writing a romance comedy, and the first one is the value of love is taken as a given, and the purpose of the narrative is to illustrate how true love conquers all. So if I think about that example, and if I think about Last Christmas, both of those films, or neither of those films, really do that, do they? There's a secondary storyline, or an equally important storyline, that carries the narrative through. And is that maybe where the rom-coms need to go?
I think I disagree.
Oh, go.
I think Last Christmas, I think that the main storyline is the fact that she, because it's not just about love, romantic love, it's about love as in reaching out to people beyond yourself and not being so like locked in about your own feelings. So through her relationship with Tom, she starts to kind of open up again and actually letting people in, and starts like helping with the homeless and that kind of thing. And so it's love on all levels that are important that the film is talking about.
And it's the same thing with Last Holiday. She is warm and loving to everyone around her indiscriminately, and therefore she encourages other people to be so too.
Right. So is it therefore moving away from romantic love or focusing only on romantic love, which is traditionally what those rom-coms have done, is, you know, two people, romantic love, kind of da-da-da.
Is it maybe as well moving away from the heteronormative ideals of traditional romantic love?
Yeah, I think that's a massive thing, absolutely. When, you know, because I was thinking back to movies where it wasn't quite so, white middle class, everybody's fine, but it just happened to get together kind of thing. And I was thinking about things like Sleepless in Seattle, where you've got like this single parent, and Runaway Bride, where Julia Roberts basically tries to trash her best mate's wedding. So they took different takes on the theme. And I thought they were both quite successful movies in different ways. And so I wonder whether that's it. Is it about breaking that traditional heteronormative? Is that the bit that's a bit old school now? Are we a bit over that, do you think? And we still like the idea about love and all the good things that a romance or a romantic comedy brings us, but we want to see it in different ways with different kinds of stories, maybe. I don't know. What do you think?
Certainly needs a bit of refreshing, doesn't it? Rather than it just being, of course, the woman wants to get married. I mean, that's that.
Look, yes. And I definitely think more romantic comedies need to, and I've said this a million times before, but need to finish with a question rather than an absolute, because, we know life is difficult. It's not always yes, forever, everything's great. You know, it's a maybe, you know, or okay for now or whatever. I personally, as a filmmaker and moviegoer, that's what I would like to see more of is, okay, you know, a bit more Sofia Coppola endings, a bit more ambiguity, maybe. What would you guys do if you're going to reinvent the? So if you're next, you've been briefed, both of you, write us a rom-com for 2023 that audiences are going to love. This is here. I'm putting you on the spot now, aren't I? What would you do?
A man who lives in Marrakesh and all they want is to get married and have a family and settle down falls in love with a woman from Brixton in London. And she just wants her career. She doesn't realize that she wants love, but they fall in love with each other anyway. And then they have to navigate and overcome the obstacle of the fact that she really doesn't want to get married or have children. And he does.
Well, that's interesting. I would watch that.
Yeah. Just off the top of my head.
I mean, I'm not your obvious candidate for kind of diverse storytelling. I kind of tickle the kind of pretty traditional boxes. We need some more diverse storytellers in here, don't we?
Yes, we do.
And so if you're out there and you'd like to join. The older storylines, because obviously there's plenty of romances for the 20s and 30s. So there are fewer storylines for us older women. So that's, I like kind of pursuing that kind of angle when it comes to me writing my romantic comedy TV series.
Yes. So that's, interesting, isn't it? And I think the audiences are there for them because that's been one of the issues previously, isn't it, is that, there's no audience for these different types of movies other than that very mainstream, middle-of-the-road, you know, 30-year-old audience, you know, which is kind of that. I think you're right. I mean, I'd definitely do more older women. I think older women's stories are really, I'm like you, Lorna, I write a lot of older women's stories, it just in terms of different experience, because the other part of it is as we as a species are living longer, it's our lives are very different. It's not just that old story of, you know, find somebody, hook up, that's it for forever, the end. You know, we have such complexity in our lives, and it's like bring that complexity to films, you know, show us the angst of finding love again when you've got an older parent that you're looking after, or you've got kids, or they've got kids, or what, you know, complexity and all that stuff is great.
I'd love to see a romantic comedy with at least one disabled protagonist.
Mm. Yeah. We're edging towards seeing, and I guess that was the good thing in Notting Hill, is actually having a disabled character in the movie was good. I mean, it wasn't a main character, it was the, you know, but it was at least it was there, which was good. And we're edging towards seeing this representation happening in little bits. We saw it in Moxie, which is great, but it's not quite there, is it? It's not quite at the forefront, and they're not those main roles. So, yeah, I think you're right. It'd be great to see, some more diversity in that space as well. It'd be terrific. What else? What else have you got to say about rom-coms? Or have we just flattened ourselves with we're all in reveries about the films that we're going to be writing.
the cogs are whirring in the background now.
Exactly. I spoke to a couple of producers actually over since lockdown, and every producer that I've spoken to has said to me, post lockdown, audiences are going to want more rom-coms. Audiences are going to want more happy stories and, you know, all those sorts of, you know, positive romantic comedy type tales. So I thought that was really interesting that there is, you know, from the production side, there seems to be a view that there is going to be more demand from audiences for that. But and I thought, as I said, I know I've talked about that Ticket to Paradise a couple of times, but why I think it's important to mention is because it is a you know, it was on at the Everyman up the road for me just a few weeks ago. You know, it's mainstream, big name Hollywood rom-com is back. So it's like, okay, is it just back? Is it just testing the water, or is it back, you know? And that will be the interesting thing to see.
Yeah, I think it can be done. You know, I think that I would be interested in getting back into rom-coms if they had a much wider, a much broader amount of diversity within the writing, the characters, everything. And if they were done in an authentic way, you know, not just diversity for diversity's sake, but done in a way that would engage and really goes into those the people and their characterization. I would be interested in watching a modern rom-com.
So yeah, let's
I think the of course-ness of love being a kind of an end point that the particularly the female characters want, I think that might be the thing that's aged, that makes rom-coms or has made rom-coms less attractive, is because it feels like you need to, you can't just make that assumption, and that assumption can kind of trigger people a little. And so there's the, I think if you give your characters more complexity and you can show why it is that they need love, then that I think is a way in that means that it will be more attractive to the modern audience, I think.
Yeah, because I think the past romantic comedies have often been about the love solves everything kind of thing. The woman or whoever, really, it's some, you know, sometimes a male protagonist, but you know, the character is somehow unfulfilled in life, has problems, but finding the man makes everything better. And I think that's just, we just don't want to hear that stuff anymore. So it's like, okay, the being in a partnership, whatever that might look like, might be terrific, but it also might be part of a more interesting, broader life, you know, and which is what I do like about Last Christmas, is it is very much about her whole self and her whole life. It's not just about, okay, and that's what's nice about not having that traditional happy ending either, is it? Because it's more about, well, you're actually, it's about who you are and what your life experiences in. The romance stuff is fine, but you know, but then it's not a romantic comedy after that, is it?
I would count it, I think. Oh, I don't know, or maybe I'm just getting like Christmas and holiday films confused of rom-coms to a certain degree. But I think you know, having a relatable and likable main protagonist is going to be really important in any film, but especially in rom-coms, because you've got to root for them, and if you can't relate to them, you're not going to root for them.
You're right. So let's talk then for a minute. That's a really good point. So let's talk about how you know, is it that rom-coms now have slid into Christmas movies? Because you know, and you know, on Sky and lots of streaming, there are now lots of Christmas movies out at this time of the year. Loads. Like they're everywhere. But that seems to be all that rom-com is now, these Christmas movies. What do you think about that? Do you think it's been this like shift, like that old school genre has now shifted into just Christmas, or is this just an anomaly?
The good thing about a Christmas film is that it gives a reason for there to only be Christmas and love, so that they could have all of these other things going on in their life and they can be this well-rounded person. But for the period of time that the film is, the plot sticks with the holidays, it sticks with the love story, and therefore it kind of gives the rom-com the ability to be a kind of traditional rom-com. But we don't watch it and think, oh, hang on, hasn't she got a life? Because we know it's just the Christmas holidays.
Yeah, maybe that's where they need to stay. Maybe rom-coms just need to be Christmas. And we just willingly suspend our disbelief and we go, you know what? We know what we're going to get and we know it's not true, but we want it anyway for Christmas and it makes us happy. What do you think?
Well, I've had one pop into my head that's called Isn't It Romantic with Rebel Wilson in the lead. And that, I don't know whether it's a subversive rom-com, I'd have to think about it. But that's one that isn't a Christmas movie and it's 2019. And it has fun with the whole concept of rom-com, and she gets trapped in a rom-com movie, and so this hunky guy ends up being kind of her in the romantic movie kind of a way, is the male lead, but that's not who she wants.
It's a bit like a musical kind of thing.
Yeah,
I've seen it. I haven't watched it, but yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think it's still possible to do it without it being a Christmas movie.
Yeah, maybe so. Okay. I don't know. I'm not sure. I think
I'm still fighting for them not being dead.
Okay. So you haven't changed your position, either. Any change on your position?
I'm going to see if I can watch the Home Again one that Nancy Meyer's daughter wrote. And I think there are a few knocking around. I think it's just, if we're going to have a resurgence of rom-com, it's going to have more diversity in it and exciting script writing.
Yes, I do agree. I think they have had a massive identity crisis, and I think the ones as we knew them are gone. And you know what? That's probably not a bad thing, because they need to move on. As we've talked about, we need more diversity. But I just think they need to find what they're going to be. What are they? And it's all that stuff. I think it's really good script writing, which is really important. And I do think one of the downsides of streaming is that we've got this plethora of content that we need, this hungry content machine that the streaming channels have to fill. And it's like, well, we still need to make sure the stories are good. The story writing is really quality. So I think story writing is important, getting the diversity right, but finding what is a 21st century rom-com look like? I think it needs to be sort of thought through, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it certainly, maybe. I agree that there needs to be more brought to the table than has traditionally been needed. Usually there's kind of more two-dimensional characters involved in the past in rom-coms. Yeah. There needs to be more fleshing out of the characters, for sure.
Yeah, we're a more demanding audience than ever before.
Mm.
And that's part of it, isn't it? I think the audience is, the change in the audience is a big part of this. And actually, we didn't really even talk about that much, but I think that's massive. Is that now, as well, we have got all this plethora of stuff that we can see with, you look at you just flick on Netflix on any given day and there's so much, or any of the streaming channels, and there's so much there to choose from. And it's becoming more diverse and more interesting and pushing boundaries, and in every way, in storytelling, in script writing, in filmmaking, in every respect. So actually our sort of sophistication levels as viewers has kind of gone right up. So it's like, how do you keep matching stories to match the needs and the changes of the viewers? And I think with a lot of genres, they've cracked it. And so you think of now, like how Marvel has just taken over. And cinema going is now a Marvel experience or a franchise experience. A lot of the franchises have kept up and modernized and matching still what the audience wants. But rom-com, I think, is still a little way behind. So, some work to be done. Something to think about.
Indeed.
Right. Thank you so much for that chat. That was very interesting. I don't think we solved it, though, did we?
No. I think it's a debate that can go on forever, isn't it? But yeah. Bringing up Marvel, though, is an example of how the traditional action movie got a bit like, the man wins the day. Whereas with Marvel, now it's like, oh my word, there's so much more diversity. It's so much more fun. The tone is like lighter, and the adventure is more inclusive, and there's so much more energy than just this, I'm a man and I will win. And
And that's the model to follow.
Well, I would say that we'll have solved the debate when we get these amazing diverse rom-coms that everyone loves, and then we'll be like, aha, we'll have to have another session.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I thought about maybe what we could talk about next was, well, what does it become? What is the new rom-com? And maybe pick that apart. So maybe that's something we can pick up later, but we can independently start thinking about what's that next rom-com that we will be writing. and pitching, and see how we go from there. But until that time, thank you so much for joining me, both of you. It was great to chat. If you are watching or listening and you have not subscribed to the Script Department, please do. Please follow us on social. And if you'd like to check out what our global network of writers are doing, you can do so on scriptdepartment.net. It's been great. Thank you so much. And we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.